News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, 850-437-1620. Good morning, it's Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, with a little Aretha and respect.
Oh, what a way to get going this morning.
Yes, sir.
And I wish we had filmed in here with Meg dancing to the music.
It I love just Aretha. And that's Mike Wiggins. This is The Garden Line every Tuesday. He is our Pensacola expert panel expert on gardening and landscaping and anything and everything you could possibly want to know about plants, flowers, all of it. So good morning.
Is that all true?
Yes. Well, I have so much respect for you.
Oh, tie in with Aretha. There
yes,
you go.
Sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. How you doing, bud?
I'm good. It's still too cold for me.
Oh, me too.
I've really become a Floridian. It's just, I don't like it.
No, I don't like it either. As a matter of fact, I read the article this morning. I guess it was in the News Journal. It was online.
Uh-huh.
That this has been the coldest January we've had in our region since 2018, I guess it was.
I believe that because I don't remember it being this cold. I remember we might get a couple of days and then it's done. Yeah. And this seems like it's been a couple of weeks now and then more to come.
I just remember getting all these sweaters for Christmas
mm-hmm.
and
never been able
to wear them. Now I'm wearing them out.
I mean, I'm digging out sweaters I haven't worn in 10 years.
You know, it's so funny. I am too. I'm at the bottom of the drawer.
Yes. I have this one little old cape, like a coat. You know, I don't even have a winter coat. It's like this little cape thing. And I thought, this is getting tired looking. This is not working. This is not a good look.
Oh my goodness. You're absolutely right. And here we are this morning. It's a beautiful morning.
It's gorgeous.
Cold, chilly. For me, it's cold.
Right.
It's chilly. And it's going to kind of stay in the 50s. 40s and 50s.
I think
the
upper
day.
40s, not really.
Yeah, for the rest of the week. And then Saturday, we get the rain. And Monday, you ready for this, Meg?
No.
In the 20s.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding at all. In the 20s.
Oh, my goodness.
Monday, it will be. So when we come to work Tuesday.
I'm going to look like Nanook of the North. I guess I'm going to have to buy a coat. Gee whiz.
Oh, it's just
I have
so
one
cool.
pair of mittens. That I've worn maybe once since I've lived here practically, right. So I could break those out.
Well, we always say that what we really want is when we're in what we call winter here, and then we ease into spring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a little bit warmer. I don't want to ease into anything.
No, let's just bring on the 70s.
Jump with both feet. Let's jump right in.
Right, I'm so
right
with
into
you right
spring
now.
Spring and summer.
No, I am no, so with you.
No doubt about that. But you know, we talk about weather here on the Garden Line all the time. We're going to get real serious here for just a second. And how we handle wet weather, that's been a problem with floods and that type of thing, and dry weather.
Mm-hmm.
Well, heaven help those good people out in California.
Oh, gosh. My heart just breaks.
You know, and there's so many factors to all of that.
Oh, gosh.
But the one factor that sits out is it hasn't rained since October.
Of last year?
Yes.
Wow.
It hasn't rained since October. And obviously, the forest and everything is just totally dry. I think mm-hmm. the percentage of moisture is just very, very low. The humidity level is low. And that was just...
Well, a factor in the Santa Ana winds. I mean, last week they had 120-mile-an-hour winds. That's a Category 2 hurricane.
Oh, it is. Exactly. That's an Ivan.
Yeah.
It is.
I mean, 100 to 120 miles. That's a lot. And the average was 70 to 80 miles per hour. So they're just picking up the embers and just blowing them five miles down the road.
Well, my thoughts and prayers are with those good people who've lost their homes and their businesses. And, you hear the interviews.
Oh, gosh.
And I think one of the major things they say is, we're just not sure what we're going to do. And I can understand that.
Billions of dollars, apparently.
Billions to rebuild
because the whole town was wiped out.
Exactly.
And I think it's, 50 or 60,000 acres or something crazy?
Yeah,
it's a crazy number. I mean, it'd be all of Pensacola. Imagine, I hate to go there, but to imagine this just burnt, gone. And there's nothing, in a weird way, with hurricanes, you still can a lot of times salvage some things occasionally. I mean, sometimes it's a total disaster, but you can, not with a fire.
No.
It just incinerates everything.
Exactly. I was out in Los Angeles, maybe a couple of years ago. Santa Monica, staying in Santa Monica. I have a relative that lives there. and went down the Pacific Coast Highway.
Oh, beautiful.
And looked to the left, right out to the Pacific, but obviously between the Pacific Coast Highway and the water mm-hmm. are the most gorgeous houses ever.
Oh, Malibu.
Malibu.
I mean, oh
right
my
in
God.
Malibu. Absolutely. And if you see the picture, have you seen the pictures?
All
there?
Gone.
Oh.
And some of those homes have been there since like the 1920s.
Oh, exactly.
Some of them were old movie star homes.
Oh,
you know, some of the
absolutely.
People that a lot of celebrities have lost their homes. And but the other thing, too, is there's been some things I've heard on the radio, which kind of makes me angry. But people talk about, oh, well, it's just the rich and famous out there. Well, that's not true.
That's not true.
That is so not true. A lot of the people in the Palisades and other areas were actually, they're all workers. They're restaurant workers. They're people that work in the hotel businesses.
And the entertainment business.
And the entertainment business. Writers and actors who don't have any money.
Right.
I know what that's about. I mean, so it's not just, yes, do they have a you know, richer population? Well, so does Pensacola.
Of course.
But there's also all those folks that don't have resources, and they're having an insurance crisis there, just like we are
just
here
like
in the state of Florida.
Here. Exactly.
So
anyway, I
prayers
I didn't
for
get
those
off
folks.
That, but I just wanted to put out there that, as I say, our thoughts and prayers are with them all. Because it's such a disaster, and it's caused a lot by the weather. It's caused by the weather, the dry weather. Okay, moving on. I get periodically, Meg. I get these emails
mm-hmm.
from different county agents.
Oh, okay.
Throughout the region.
That's right. You mentioned that before.
I did, and I've got a few here. I was going to kind of hit real quickly some of the things that they're saying, what they're sending out. I love the first one. It comes from Matt Lawler, who is a Santa Rosa County extension agent. He says, Happy New Year. Now, go get organized.
Well, I'm surprised you didn't send that to me personally.
Well, I was gonna say, well, Matt, thanks for the personal note.
All right.
I'll clean up my desk.
Oh, my goodness.
But he's talking about saying that in relation to vegetable gardening.
Mm.
Very interesting. He says it's January. He says you can go plant beets and
mm-hmm.
broccoli and Brussels sprouts and is best planted as transplants, not seeds, transplants this time of year.
Interesting. Exactly. I would think it would be in the spring, but it's this time of year, he's saying.
Just for those.
Interesting.
Potatoes can be planted. We call them seed potatoes, which mm-hmm. is a potato that has at least three eyes on it, and you plant that, kind of cut it up,
mm-hmm.
so you have three eyes on each piece. So you can do all of that. Then, here's what he says. I'm going to have to chat with him about this. He says, a tomato and pepper transplants, in other words, the plants you buy at the garden center,
right,
can be planted in the garden as early as February or March.
Really?
Let's put it this way. I'm not sure I'd want to invest my money in those vegetable plants that early. You know, you really need to... be sure the freeze is over.
Right.
Because you and I have talked about, and we've talked to our listeners about this. I'm sure they're tired of my ranting about this, about how we tell when the last freeze
mm-hmm.
has happened in Pensacola.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about it.
I think
going
so.
Down the interstate, you know, looking at the pecan grove to the east of the interstate, right on I-110,
uh-huh.
right out of town.
Right.
And as soon as it puts on new growth, we're
That's
done.
It. Okay.
No more freezing.
That's our indicator. Okay.
So I'll be checking that out.
We'll make that drive. We'll go for a road trip.
We'll report on that. But in any event, and so he goes on to talk about doing a soil test. We've talked about that a lot, which I think is an excellent idea. But his whole letter was kind of went around a document that is available to the public. It's called the Florida Panhandle Planting Guide.
Huh.
Now, we need to take a break.
Yes, we do.
We
we'll take a quick break.
I'm going to tell you a little bit about this planting guide, who does it, how you can get it, and we'll go from there.
Perfect. Okay, you're listening to Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. This is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Got a question or a comment on gardening for Mike? You can text it in at 850-437-1620. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Pensacola's expert panel on Tuesday, and that means it's The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Here he is, Mike. I know you're going down a list of things already to help us out this winter.
Well, we're talking about some of these emails we've received
yes.
just over the last week or so, this time of year. From some of the county agents. And Matt Lawler, who's really a great county agent up in Santa Rosa County, is talking about the Florida Panhandle Planting Guide.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just a little background on the planting guide. It's put together by IFAS.
I-F-A-S. Okay.
Okay. You ready for this?
Yes.
The Institute of Food and Agricultural Sciences at
okay.
the University of Florida.
Oh, of course, yeah.
It is an amazing organization. It's all things horticultural. That the IFAS gives information and research, et cetera, to farmers, growers, homeowners, businesses, and just sends out all kinds of stuff. And they form a state, county, federal partnership to establish the extension agents.
Interesting.
So the extension agents here in Pensacola,
mm-hmm.
The extension agent is Beth Bowles.
Okay.
Beth, she'd be a great person to have on one day, too.
We should bring her in.
Oh, she is wonderful. And anyway, the extension service is located out on Stefani Road,
mm-hmm.
which is so north of 9 Mile Road. And they do all information horticulture. The Florida Panhandle Planting Guide is available. I think all you've got to do is jump on the internet and you can Google Florida Panhandle Planting Guide and you would find it. And or if you don't find that, just Google IFAS.
Okay.
Just hit IFAS, I-F-A-S. In any event, the planting guide is very interesting. It's got 40 vegetables, everything from bush beans to watermelon.
Wow.
And it tells you what to plant every month.
Huh.
And it breaks that down into whether you're going to use a transplant,
mm-hmm.
Seed, or a seed potato where you just cut it up.
Huh.
In any event, it's a great, and it's color-coded and all of that. So it's something you may be interested in if you're into vegetable gardening because it really does have what you can do. I'm looking on it right now in January. I got beets, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, carrots, cauliflower.
You can plant all that now?
That's what the Panhandle Planting Guide says. Now, if I knew it was going to 20 degrees, I might kind of cool it.
You might want to wait.
Kind of cool it on a little bit of this. Because if we're going to have these record-setting cold, we may want to cool it. And wait,
I'm wondering if that's not for the January when we're in our 70s.
You think?
those hints there.
That's right. Anyway, don't want to belabor the point, but the Florida Panhandle Planting Guide is available on the internet. If you're into vegetable garden, you'll find it interesting.
That sounds great.
No doubt about that. Now, I also got another email from another county agent. I'm trying to find out what her name is.
And while he's looking for that, if you've got a question or a comment for Mike on the Garden Line, text it in at 850-437-1620 right here on Pep Talk.
Right. This is a quick one. This is from Lauren Goldsby.
Okay.
Lauren's article was, or email was, why watering the ground before a freeze protects your plants. We covered that last week.
We sure did. We did talk about that.
We covered that. So what the main thrust of her article, her email, was that you want to water the soil. You don't necessarily need to water the entire plant. Do it the morning before a freeze. In other words, Monday morning
mm-hmm.
or Sunday morning, water the ground really good. And that's about the best you can do. In the same light, a lot of people in my neighborhood, for example, still have some plants covered.
I can see some plants as I drive around Pensacola. Exactly. Several people have done that.
Exactly. And generally, that's okay. That's okay. If it's a sheet or a blanket, if it's not going to freeze for, say, 4 or 5 days,
mm-hmm.
I'd take it off.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got plastic, we've talked about this before, if you wrap it in plastic, soon as the freeze is over, I mean that very morning, like this morning, take it off.
Mm-hmm.
Take it off because it's going to, just to make it simple, it's going to make a greenhouse.
Right.
It's going to burn up that plant.
Right.
So you just simply want to take off that cover.
Now, I saw some palm trees. I was driving up Bayou Boulevard this morning and there's a whole, like 10 palm trees in somebody's front yard had big, looked like big plastic quilted things around them.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And you know, that's interesting. I'm going to jump back to California a minute,
mm-hmm.
Along the Pacific Coast Highway.
Mm-hmm.
They have those beautiful palm trees.
Yes.
Tall. But they look like they may have survived.
Really?
These palm trees are tough.
Interesting.
One thing about palm trees is, especially in hurricane damage, is that some of the experts will say, over the years, over the thousands and thousands of years, palm trees have been growing down in the tropics in Miami, South Florida, and they have become resistant to damage from the wind.
Interesting.
And so they survive many, many times. So anyway, that was just...
Well, I hope they do.
Oh, I hope it's beautiful. I mean, those are beautiful trees, no doubt about it. Okay, where were we here? Oh, my emails.
Oh, we have to take a break is where we are.
Oh.
My goodness. All right, let's take a quick break.
This is
Pensacola Expert Panel, The Garden Line on Tuesday. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Meg on The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins, and we are talking about all the things you can possibly plant during this cold season. We've got some references here.
No, we're not. We're not going to
talk. Oh, we're not going to talk about that anymore?
We're not going to talk about that for the next minute or so.
Uh-oh.
Because this is a special day.
Is it?
It is a special day.
Uh-oh.
Whose birthday is it today?
Oh.
It's not mine.
Oh, dear.
How about that?
Oh, dear.
Happy,
yes, it is.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. I try to kind of do them low-key. And, you know, as you get to a certain age, you say, well, we'll just let this one slip by, hopefully.
I just ignore them.
That's right.
I've had many, many. I don't want any more. Well, I do want some more.
I do want more. Don't get me wrong.
Oh,
yes.
No, I do, too. I said that wrong. Yeah. Absolutely. Anything special you're doing?
I haven't made any special plans for today. I may go have lunch with some friends or something like that. Like I said, it's not like the old days when you had the big parties. And now I'm at the age where you marked the big ones like 40 and 50. You know, you did the big hoo-haws. But
yeah.
I'm not hoo-hawing anymore about this age.
Well, yeah.
I'm not sure I want to go there, you know.
I know what you can do.
What's
that? For your birthday. You know, you can go home and Google the Florida Panhandle Planting Guide.
Yes.
And decide what to plant and go get you some beets and broccoli and Brussels sprouts and put them in your little garden in your backyard to celebrate your birthday.
Okay.
How about that?
Well, I don't really like beets or Brussels sprouts.
I don't either. So
okay. What about a plant? Like what kind of a flowering plant could I put out? Like I love flowers.
Oh, go plant some pansies.
Pansies?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
That'll do. I'll do some pansies.
They like to cold. They might even put up with that Monday.
Really? Though, like that kind of, you don't have to bring them in?
Mid-20s, no.
So I can plant them outside.
Absolutely.
And they'll be okay.
Absolutely. Plant some yellow ones.
Those
are my favorites, exactly.
Okay. I will definitely do that.
Yeah. I had one of the landscapers, and I discussed one time, if you plant yellow pansies in your front flower bed.
He's so funny. Starts describing, and then he's completely off the mic. He's using hand gestures, and
I've always done that. I kind of learned.
No, I love it, but it just cracks me up because I can't hear you at all.
Okay, I'm not going to do that anymore. Okay. Putting the yellow pansies in your front flower bed visually brings your house closer to the street.
Really?
Which, from a value of a house, if you will, raises your home value. Because of that. And the yellow pansies would do that.
Nice. So, okay.
Now, as you know, I talked about before, they're all different kinds.
Mm-hmm.
Pansies, the ones with the faces, the two colors, single colors. The yellow ones put up with a little more sun.
Okay.
Than
I get a nice sun in my garden.
Because pansies will take the sun, but they also like a little filtered sun also to really do
well.
Is
there a particular kind of pansy I should get?
No, just I would pick the color you like.
Okay.
I would simply pick the color you like and go from there.
Okay.
No doubt about it.
All right.
So, anyway, so we've got your birthday planned here.
Okay,
there's
we got
no,
that
song. No Brussels
Enough of
sprouts
that now.
And broccoli.
No.
Enough of that. You're going to plant some pansies for your birthday.
Oh, somebody just wrote in, beets and Brussels sprouts are the best. Well, this is what makes the world go round.
Well, they're good for you.
Oh, yeah. That may be why I'm adverse to them.
too much green.
Like a little kid, I used to hide the green peas in my napkin. You know, my mom said, eat your peas.
I got you.
Okay. All right, we'll be back. You're listening to The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk. If you've got a question or comment this morning, 850-437-1620. And we'll be back right after the news on Pep Talk, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
They say it's your birthday. My favorite birthday song.
He made me play it. He made me play it. He twisted my arm.
It's mandatory.
What's your favorite birthday song? We were joking about that.
It's mandatory to play that on your birthday. Absolutely.
The Beatles.
There
For
you
those
go.
Of you who don't know, they are not bugs. They're a band from the 60s.
Exactly. I think a lot of our listeners recognize that right off.
I hope so. I hope so.
Right
hope
off.
So.
Anyway, happy birthday to you.
Thank you very, very much.
Hope you
much.
Enjoy
Thank
the day. And,
yeah, it's starting out right because I'm starting it with you.
Oh, my goodness.
Seriously.
Gracious. Nothing better than this. I'm leaving. This is great.
Seriously.
This is great.
All right, let's get back to business.
Yeah, we have some texts over here.
Yes, we did. So we had one that said, how long can you keep citrus trees covered with a tarp for freezing weather without damaging them? That's a
well,
good question.
And it depends on what kind of tarp. Some of the what we call frost cloths that you can buy at your garden center, I think you can leave them on for a matter of days. But if it's a tarp, you know, kind of a plastic type tarp, if you will, I'd take it off quick. I'd take it off very quick. I know it's a lot of trouble to put those on.
Right.
Because as we've talked about on here, you want to cover the plant all the way to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put that tarp over that plant and anchor it with some bricks or stones or what have you so it doesn't blow off. But if it's a tarp like I would have been using, like to cover plants, if you're picking them up in a truck, mm-hmm. you need to cover them with a tarp so the wind doesn't get to them, I would take it off relatively quick.
Right.
I would.
Okay.
I mean, I wouldn't rush out as soon as it turns from 32 to 33 degrees, but in the next day mm-hmm. or so, I'd take them off.
Okay, that's good advice. Yeah, all right, well, thank you for sending that text in.
And
Lyle, you know, who is works here with us at the stations.
He does work here, yes.
Said to me yesterday, I have a very important question for Mike for you to give. I said, okay. So I hope you're listening, Lyle. But he wanted to know, is now the time to start fertilizing his pecan and persimmon trees?
I wouldn't do it yet. I wouldn't do it yet. Let's shoot for a March and do that. And if you're going to fertilize your pecan trees, you know, you want to use a fertilizer that contains a lot of zinc.
Oh, okay.
That helps pecan trees. And you need to do a little arithmetic. It's about, you take from drip line, which is the edge of the plant, edge of the limbs, walk through the trunk to the other side. If that's, say, 10 feet, 20 feet, use a pound per foot and spread it out over the whole plant, whole tree, mm-hmm. not just around the trunk, but all the way out to the drip line.
Several feet out.
Because, well, even more than that.
Okay.
If it's 10 foot from the trunk to the edge of the first limb, if you will.
Right.
Take it all the way out that far. Because that's where the roots are. The roots have spread out that far, and they're the ones that are going to absorb the nutrients that you've put on there.
Well, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So, anyway, tell him just to kind of take it easy, sit by the fire, relax, and we'll hit that probably in March.
We'll let you know.
Yeah.
Well,
and you can buy pecan fertilizer. It's just made especially for that.
Oh, okay.
And if you buy that, I think he was saying he also has some persimmon trees.
Mm-hmm.
Use it on the persimmon trees also.
Okay, very good.
Don't go out and buy something different. You could use the same thing.
We've got our expert in the house with the garden line, Mike Wiggins. If you've got a question or comment, text it in at 850-437-1620. Got one more that came in this morning.
Oh, good.
It says, Mike, good morning. I left my potted agave plant outside in the rain. It looks pretty bad. I'm going to move it indoors, but want to know if I should, if I should trim off the wilted leaves. Thanks, Bob. Bob R.
Bob, I wouldn't touch it for a while to see exactly how much has been damaged.
Mm-hmm.
It may not make it. But
really? The rain affects it that negatively?
Well, cold.
Cold. Okay. Cold. The rain and the cold.
Yeah. So I wouldn't do any pruning on it. I would take it inside. I would be sure it was watered. And then just kind of wait it out.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as the weather gets normal, I say normal, we're not going to have a freeze, you can put it back outside, especially since it's in a container. That makes you can move it in and out and in mm-hmm. and out, you know, the entire winter, if you will. There's a lot of damage out there. Let me tell you a little personal note. My elephant ears this year were as gorgeous as they've ever been.
Mm.
Because, you know, I bought them from Caladiums, Florida. Remember last week we talked about that?
Right, yeah.
A great company down in Lake Placid, down in South Florida. They grow caladiums and elephant ears.
Uh-huh.
That's all they grow.
Huh.
And anyway, you can get them on the internet. Caladiums, Florida. Not Florida, Caladiums. Caladiums, Florida. In any event, I planted them. I mean, they were gorgeous. And they are now just drooping over.
Oh, no.
That was horrible. My mandevilla, which I love.
Right.
It has those white blossoms.
They're beautiful blossom,
on a trellis, and It's as brown as a berry.
No.
Yeah, it didn't take much. So these things are very, very tropical, and they just don't like this 32.
So is there anything you can do? I mean, if you've got them on fences, they're outside. So.
Yeah, and you can cover them. You can, you get that frost cloth and cover them. If we're going down to the mid-20s or even lower, even with that, with these tropicals, it's a little dicey.
Mm.
But you can try to save them. I have over the years tried to. I like to grow hibiscus.
Right.
A couple of big ones. I've covered those. But if when it got really cold, I've got a northerly exposure and just hadn't really worked. So what I do, I just enjoy them for the summer, the spring, and the fall, and replant in the spring.
Okay.
Sometimes that's about all you can do. But if you've got the wherewithal to get out there and cover them, and remember we had someone who called, I think it was Lisa from
Milton.
Anyway, she covered them and put lights.
That's right, because it helped warm them up. She put Halloween lights, she said.
Halloween lights.
Yes, that's what it was.
Helped warm them up. No, if you're going to go to all that trouble to protect your plants, good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say go ahead and do it. You might save them. But for those of us who may not have all the time in the world to get out and cover all the plants and take it off, put it back on, take it off, put it back on. Sometimes you have to leave what's going to happen to Mother Nature.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay, so when we come back, we're going to talk about potted plants. You mentioned some of the indoor plants and how to take care of those.
I do. I got
one more on your list.
Yeah, and I got one more thing talking about some lawn care.
Okay.
So I got a nice email from one of the county agents about that.
All right, so we'll be back on the Garden Line to talk a little bit about lawn care in just a minute after the break. Pensacola's expert panel on Tuesdays means it's the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. You mentioned something about lawn care.
Well, I did, but let's talk about
we got a great question
Do the towers.
All right, so have you heard of tower gardens, and what are your thoughts on them? Is it a good time to start strawberries?
Well, I'll tell you what let's do.
All right.
Let's go to our Friendly Florida Panhandle Planting Guide.
Aha. Okay. Yes, sir.
Strawberries, not so much. It recommends, that's a fall planting.
Fall planting for strawberries.
But I bet you could put them in there. The tower gardening is very similar to what I'm familiar with, is a strawberry jar.
Oh.
A strawberry jar is kind of like a couple of feet high, maybe more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got little holes all the way in it. And you plant the strawberries because they're going to vine down.
Right.
And you have plant strawberries in the various little openings in the strawberry jar. Same principle for the tower garden.
Mm-hmm. So you got to send a picture in of the tower garden.
Yeah, exactly. So it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. But what that does, as far as I'm concerned, it enables you to control the moisture because you've got it right, there in one spot. Okay. And if you have each hole covered with strawberries, your pest control and all that, if you have that, is very, very easy to do.
Okay.
And it helps with space. In other words, if you're going to plant strawberries in the ground, you're going to put them so far apart in your vegetable garden. Here you've got it in a
tower. Very
which
cool.
Which puts it kind of in a vertical
So if you have a patio garden, that might be somewhere if you don't have a big yard.
Absolutely.
That
put it on the patio and enjoy it that way.
Yeah, that would be great. Okay, so but not right now.
Well, that's isn't that funny? I would say you could do that if you can find some strawberry to plant. It probably would work in the spring just like it would because they say do it in September, October, and November.
So, okay.
Interesting. But I'd give it a shot now.
Okay.
If you've got the tower, go for it.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for sending that in. If you've got questions for the Garden Line on Pep Talk, 850-437-1620. Just text it in, and I know Mike will do his best to answer them.
He'll do his best. Right, but we'll do it the best. Okay. I did get, this is one more email from one of our extension agents. This is from Joshua Chris. He's the extension agent in Santa Rosa County.
Okay.
And what he says here is right. This is really lawn 101. He talks about early season lawn care practices. And first of all, he talks about life cycle of lawns. Well, he makes a comment that turf grass is split into warm and cool season species. Well, unless you have lived and had a lawn up north, you probably are not familiar with the cool season species, which is a grass. I mean, let's think of an example here. Fescue.
Mm-hmm.
We don't grow fescue here. It's just too hot.
Right.
We grow warm season grasses. St. Augustine, centipede, zoysia, bahia, Bermuda, all of those. Okay. So that's, we have warm season grasses. Now, when it gets cold like this, the grass goes into a dormant season, okay? And it turns brown and appears to be dead.
Mm-hmm.
It is not dead. The grass itself is alive, but the roots have died back significantly, but will come back as soon as we get some warmer weather.
Okay, that's good news.
So here's the important thing, and this is where I think he was getting to in his email, is about fertilizer. So a lot of people, me included, you'll get a little antsy in the spring. You get to 70 or 80 degree day, say in March.
Right.
And you say, I'm going to fertilize my lawn because every garden center will have it stacked to the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't do it. Don't do it. You want, because those roots have not really formed up again, not have come back from the dormant season, and that's how the grass absorbs the nutrient. It's through those roots. So he recommends you save any fertilization until tax day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Tax day.
April 15th.
Mid-April, exactly. I would even say, I've got a lot of people, experts tell me, don't do it until May, which I think makes a lot of sense also. Because the roots have come back, you put the fertilizer on, and it accepts the nutrients that you put on with the fertilizer. So if you do that, that's good. Now, if you've got some bare spots, you also need to concern yourself with weed control.
Right.
And not necessarily just bare spots. You may have had weeds. So just like we've always talked about, he talks about and agrees with us that weed prevention is very important. You're waiting on your fertilizer until April and May.
Mm-hmm.
But the weed control you need to do in mid-February.
Really? That early?
Really, a month from now.
Oh, gosh, okay.
Now, putting your pre-emergence on there, because once that weed, we get some warmer weather in Pensacola and some rain, those weeds are going to germinate and just come up. They may not be very big, but they're going to germinate. Then it's too late. So what you do, you put the pre-emergence on in February. Now, this gentleman here is saying, and I do agree with him to some extent, that you may want to wait 6 to 8 weeks later and do it again.
Hmm.
Because those pre-emergence weed controls don't have a lot of lifespan to them. Only problem with that is you've got to watch your weather. If you do it, say, 8 weeks past that February, March, April, as you get into May, it may be too hot because some of the pre-emergence applications can burn your grass if the temperature, outside temperature, is too hot. So that's what you need to do, because what you're going to do is keep those weeds from coming in and give your lawn a chance to grow into some of these bare spots or to become even more healthy, because as we've always said on the Garden Line, the best weed deterrent is a lush lawn. So that's what he's saying about weed control. And what that does is it takes you to putting out a bag of weed and feed, which you'll find at every garden center. Do not buy it. Do not use it. Don't do it. Because just of what we said, you put a bag of weed and feed on at the right time to control the weeds,
mm-hmm.
you're going to put it on in mid-February. Well, you're putting fertilizer on with it, which is absolutely the wrong thing to do because we're waiting, remember, till April or May.
Right.
So you've got this gap in there. So you need to put the pre-emergence weed control on separately.
So you do that first.
In February.
Okay.
Exactly. Now, you can do it. There's some granulars out there. I like to see a spray. You can mix it up in your sprayer and spray it and do that. In any event, that's the weed and feed story that you just don't want to do because it just doesn't fit the timeline for our grass coming out of dormancy.
Good. Gotcha. Okay, we're listening to The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. We've got a question or a comment. Just text it in at 850-437-1620. Going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Pensacola's expert panel with Meg on Garden Line Tuesday with Mike Wiggins. Got a few minutes left here to go over a few items, since we are doing some indoor planting too, yes?
Yes, yes, and we'll have to continue this next week.
Yes.
But I think since we're all spending more time indoors with this cooler weather, might want to just talk about houseplants.
Mm-hmm.
I found a great article about the top 15 houseplants.
Okay.
Not necessarily in ease of maintenance, but insofar as popularity.
I need the list that's ease of maintenance.
I'll make a separate list for you. No, we'll talk about some really easy.
Okay,
I've got one, okay. I don't mind the fact my first two
are
very easy. The first one is a pothos, P-O-T-H-O-S.
Okay.
And the variety is called Marble Queen pothos. It, you can plant it in a smaller pot.
Mm-hmm.
It's got variegated leaves, kind of heart-shaped leaved, if you will.
Nice.
And it will send out some tendrils, and you can just keep those clipped off. But it will take some lower light, not a no-light situation, but a lower light situation. This is what some of the indoor plant people call a confidence builder. Because if you're kind of new to all of this stuff,
I need a confidence builder plant
queen,
for sure.
A marble queen pothos.
For more reasons than one.
Yeah. The literatures will tell you that the pothos is a very undemanding species.
Oh.
Excellent for beginners. Or, how about this? Or anyone who is less diligent about their plant care.
I wonder, is it available for marriage?
It doesn't say.
Low maintenance?
It doesn't say. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Just kidding.
All right, here we go. Maybe time for one more.
Okay.
I love this one. This is a, I bet you hadn't heard of this one.
Mm-mm.
A ZZ plant.
A ZZ plant?
Now, here I've got a problem. You know, I'm.
Okay, you got about a minute left. So.
Okay. I'm going to try to pronounce it. It'll take me a minute.
Okay.
Zamiocoleus zamifolia.
Okay, ZZ is a lot easier.
ZZ. It's just green foliage. It is bulletproof. It is a great plant, and more people are using it indoors because it really will put up with so many conditions. We'll elaborate next week.
Oh, good. I'm excited.
Okay.
All right.
ZZ plant.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. This has been The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. We're here every Tuesday, 9 to 10 o'clock.